This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you're able to be yourself and you have that social togetherness off the field, then being honest with people and holding guys accountable is more of a natural thing than the unnatural thing. So the umbrage and the offense and the sensitivity, I think, slowly fades away. You know, I really firmly believe that happened this year, and that's why we're in this position.
Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers talking about this team and how they've gotten to the conference championship game later on today, 6:40 kickoff out on the West Coast against the San Francisco 49ers. Welcome back into a game day Sunday here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you. Nine floors up in the Kia Studios. Greg on the other side of the glass. We're till 10 o'clock, and pleased to have our in-studio guest hanging with us for a couple of more segments, former Falcon defensive end Chuck Wiley. We're going to let him talk about LSU in a little while, but Chuck, we're going to dive back into this thing as far as the NFL goes, as far as these playoffs. You just heard from Aaron Rodgers. Thoughts about him, if you're on the defensive side of the ball and you break the huddle and he's coming up to the line, what are some things, what are the I's that you dot and the T's that you cross when you're facing him?
Well, the number one thing, you got to have some discipline, because if you notice, he always try to get linemen offsides. He goes at big hard count and then turns to sideline, change the play. You got to know the down and distance situation and knowing what they're in. This year with the kid Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, they have been a really a compliment to him running the ball, because Aaron hasn't been putting up the crazy numbers he's done in the past, but he's been efficient, and he's been efficient and making plays downfield. But I would say the main thing is especially when you have those quick drops, those quick throws, three-step drops, you know, we're telling the lineman, get some push, get your hands up, get in his face, kind of disguise the coverage. Well, not kind of, but disguise the coverage for him. Give him some looks he haven't seen. Do some things to kind of test the old guy out and see if he's still got. But, you know, he's very smart. He's one of those guys that already have, like, probably – two or three plays already in his head and already know what we're going to adjust to if we, you know, we were looking at like man, and then all of a sudden we go to zone. Cause what they do, he's going to put somebody in motion, and then now he's going to see if we're in man or not, like if somebody follows him, and then now, oh, I got to play for it.
Yeah. So that's the thing. It's a guy that if you put the pressure on him, it's almost like, I won't say that's what he wants you to do, but that's when he oftentimes is at his best, when he has to move, because he does that so well in his instincts for knowing where his receivers are. Maybe it's a little different now because it's been a different cast of characters. You go back in the day when he had those receivers he was so comfortable with, and he's had to get that kind of continuity with the current group of receivers he has there. But sometimes you want to put the pass, or you want to put that pressure on him, but sometimes he's like, okay, you're going to do this to me. He's always got a plan for that.
Yeah, and then you got to think about it. You got Devontae Adams. You have Big Jimmy Graham. And what happens once he sees that single man, that single coverage or whatever, that single safety or whatever, he's getting it to Devontae. I mean, I watched it. They showed something on SportsCenter not too long ago where he just one move and he just got over the top of the DB and got behind him and made some plays. He's really great at what he does. And the thing is, you see him in the pocket, even with the rush, he's calm. He moves a little bit. Now, the thing is, he's getting older. Now, you see sometimes he'll go down and take that little sack or whatever. But the other part about it, too, you got to remember, he gets out and scramble if he needs to, and then he knows how to slide. He's not going to do anything stupid. Mm-hmm. And I think he's very careful with the ball, too. So just a real poised veteran. And it's going to be even though that's a young team and they got a lot of talent, but San Francisco is going to have their hands full.
Yeah, of all the quarterbacks today, he is the veteran, obviously the veteran of the guys who are playing today. Garoppolo getting here for the first time as a starter to this level. Thoughts about him today? Of course, he's been, you know, just been steady Eddie, his performance this year. Thoughts about him and some of the things he wants to make sure and do in this game today?
Well, with Garoppolo, I'm still like me personally. I think he's done a great job. I think he is surrounded by a lot of talent. Like I told you earlier, this is one of those teams that have been, you know, down for a little while, and they've gotten all those draft picks and they got all those different things. And that tight end George Kittle is, I mean, playing phenomenal. And what he needs to do is just ball control, give that thing to Tevin Coleman. Those guys come with that blitz, have Kettleman, like they do, come underneath that blitz right there in the hole and in the middle of the field, catch that pass, get that first down. I think that's going to be really key for him. And just like I said, just don't do anything to mess it up. Just get us there, let that defense pin their ears back, come and go get Aaron Rodgers and make some plays because they got some talent. And man, I don't know if you've been watching Sherman,
yeah,
but like they do not throw his way. I mean, it's crazy when he was putting up, he was talking about his stats, and it's crazy. People think that is very cocky. I look at that's confident. I mean, this guy's like, no one else has thrown my way, or I've got this amount of interceptions. And I mean, he's backing up what he's saying. I mean, he really, when he got that contract over here at San Francisco, he bet on himself, and it's coming to fruition.
Yep. And especially at a time like this, he's coming with big plays. He's going to be big in this game today. That's the NFC Championship game. Over in the AFC, you got a different quarterback story. Talk about a guy like Ryan Tannehill, who's basically a rebirth, if you will. In Tennessee, cast aside in Miami. Some people thought he was like done or out of, or relegated to being a backup. He's come in and seized the moment, you know?
And Tannehill is a guy that you root for because, believe me, I've seen those situations. I know a lot of players been like that when you're with a certain team and you feel like you're not wanted and there's, you know, you practically, it's just, oh, hey, man, we're done. Thanks for your services.
Yeah.
And give you that nice pat on the back. But Tannehill's come to this team and just ignored the distractions and took advantage of this monster in Derrick Henry and ran the ball. And his guys are making plays. And I just watched, like, when you watch Tennessee, I'm like, this is a upgraded version of the Patriots. I mean, seriously. And you remember Bill Belichick got upset about Vrabel using his same tactic against him,
right,
with the jumping off sides and on the punt. I mean, it was brilliant, and I love when I saw Belichick's face when he was so upset and so just mad, just because it was you did it, so right. Like, okay, and he should be the main one getting mad about breaking rules. So,
absolutely,
like,
hey. Man, that's a whole other
animal.
That's a whole other show. Yeah. Tannehill, we talked about for a minute. Here's some thoughts from the Titans quarterback.
I've played some cold games, and unless the wind's really blowing, the wind affects it more than the cold. Obviously, every guy's gonna have a different opinion, but that's been my experience with it, you know, as my career's gone on. So honestly, I don't think it plays a big factor.
That's Ryan Tannehill talking about the conditions they may face today in Kansas City. Talk about playing a game in that stadium. It's one of the unique places around the league, and what were your impressions from playing at Arrowhead?
Well, it's different. Let me tell you, you have a real strong fan base there. I was telling my wife earlier because we're actually going there for a volleyball game. I said, I have not been to Kansas City since we played there. And at that time, you remember they had Tony Gonzalez. So,
yeah.
I mean, it looked like they just said, Tony is getting the ball every play, and I know you know it, and there's nothing you can do about it.
How about that?
And they're very loud. I mean, almost like a college atmosphere, like very loud, very passionate. Really good fans and stuff, man. So they've had some talent there too. I think it was Priest Holmes. I think it was the running back
mm-hmm,
in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So and they used to pound that ball, and they had the little human joystick. I'm thinking of my man right now. I'm looking at his face. Play receiver, and it made a lot of plays for him, man, back in the day.
Well, they got guys now that are receivers that are big time playmakers. One of them came out of Georgia, Mecole Hardman, along with Tyreek Hill. They got some. He's, you know, Mahomes got some weapons.
And I would tell you this, and I told somebody, if you watch that game when they were down, I want to say it was like 14-0 or something. They were down at a certain point, or 21-0. Mecole Hardman changed the whole tempo, the whole atmosphere of that game. When he got that punt return, that kickoff return, and he took it back. I mean, he got that whole sideline, and all you know is Mahomes was just, touchdown. Touchdown, fumble, touchdown. I mean, it was Mecole Hardman that did it. I promise you, I watched that because you saw Tyreek Hill. I think he had the fumble, and it looked like he was trying to do too much. And then Mecole said, I got this.
Yeah.
And really, he's almost a clone of Tyreek Hill. I mean, really fast and just great speed, shifty guy. Like a lot of talent, man. They drafted really well. Drafted really well.
An excellent compliment to him. Mm-hmm. Now, talk about Mahomes, you know, like I said, and I give you the same scenario. You break in the huddle, you're facing this guy who can do so many different things. dot the I's and cross the T's before the ball snaps.
Now, and you can tell, you can see the baseball background, man. You watch some of the plays. I mean, he's literally going to the right, and then he throws a curveball going to the left. And it's really good to great to see him making these plays, hitting downfield. But, I mean, like I told you, the Kansas City Chiefs track team, and you're seeing these guys flying downfield. And one of my favorites is Kelce. You got to remember, I'm partial to the tight ends because I played tight end growing up and everything. But, I mean, making those plays, you watch him catching everything that's thrown to him. And Mahomes, and you got to remember, he is, as a young guy, still leading this team. And he's doing it, to me, doing it the right way. And I love watching him, and I like watching his plays. I actually make my son watch Kelce and some of those guys just to get an image to see how this is how you're supposed to do it. So they're doing a great job. And I'm a big fan of Andy Reid as well as
– let's talk about him a little bit. Let's talk about Coach a little bit. He's been so close.
Yeah.
Dante
Hall.
Dante Hall was the guy you were talking about. But talk about Coach Reid, the fact he's been great coaching career, and this is the one thing that has managed to elude him is a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I think I think he has the greatest opportunity this year to do it. I mean, he was close last year, and he's been so close before, especially with Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I remember the Philadelphia team with T.O. and Donovan, man. It was so much talent in Westbrook. But I think this is one of his best chances. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to give a lot of kudos to Eric Bieniemy. Yeah. I think well-deserved fraternity brother of ours.
Yeah.
I mean, he is really – I've watched him even when he was with Minnesota with Adrian Peterson, what he has done. And he's not getting enough credit for what he's doing. But he's part of that piece that's been making this offense go. This is a guy that's coached – offense coordinator that's coached MVP as well as coaching it this year and has it still playing at a top level.
Fantastic, fantastic. And that's another show, too, about why he didn't get it. That's a whole nother show. We come back for Weird Joy, having Chuck Wiley in studio. Up next, we're going to let him pump his chest a little bit, talk about his alma mater and the national championship that they won. We continue on this Game Day Sunday here on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com.
When we saw that the national championship would be in the Superdome at the beginning of the year, we said, oh, target on that, although we did not talk about it. And we felt that once we come in the Superdome, we'd come out victorious.
Coach O, talking about playing for the national championship practically in his own backyard. LSU Tigers delivered this week, beating Clemson for the national championship. Welcome back to Sports Radio 929 The Game. Sam Crenshaw with you, and pleased to be joined for one more segment with a proud LSU alum, Chuck Wiley. Talk about that and hearing the coach talk like that and the fact that he was the right guy. When he came, there was some question.
Yeah. First, let me tell you this. I've had teammates that are from those same parishes down there, those river parishes, and sound just like Coach O. So I always tell people, I'm used to it. So,
how do you understand that?
Well, you got to remember, we speak a little broken French, a little Creole, so we understand what they're saying. I mean, now one guy, I remember, he ended up playing for the Saints, Nicky Savoy.
Yeah.
They actually moved him tight end because I think they couldn't understand the checks when he was under center. But great guy, but yeah, like I said, they have that real strong Southern accent, like a Creole accent, like Coach O and those guys. But yeah, you're right. I remember them talking about him just being a D-line coach, talking about him just being a guy, just being a great recruiter.
Yeah, great recruiter.
Bounce around a lot of places and coach a lot of great talent on everything. You know, when he was at Miami and USC. But Coach O was smart. Coach O learned from what I like about it. He learned from some of the mistakes and some of the things that he's dealt with at Ole Miss and even the situation even at USC. Whoever that was at USC talking about, they just couldn't stand his voice. I know they're just really now just like kicking themselves in the butt, like what did we just lose?
Yeah.
So he did a great job, and I'm gonna tell you, you saw how he had so much like analytics guys. He brought so many people. Even one of his consultants is the old coach John Robinson, used to be at USC and the Rams. You see this guy actually contributing, like giving insight, and you can't have enough great football guys and winners around you. And I think that's really part of why the program is so successful. Even ex-Falcons, my D-line coach from the Falcons, Bill Johnson.
Right.
He's a D-line coach.
Yeah.
That was Ogeron's coach at Northwestern State. So you just see the experience they have on that staff.
Yeah. Coach Johnson, remarkable. Remarkable coach down there. Thoughts about the way this season unfolded? Did you see things going away? Especially, I guess you felt that way, especially when they get the win over Alabama.
Yeah, and you, I saw actually my son went to the Manning camp down in Thibodaux, okay. And Nicholls State, and I got a chance to first. That was my first time really just seeing him face to face, talking to him. And I remember like one of the conversations I said to him because I saw it last year. I said, "Man, look, I know you getting the ball there, but your receivers drop a lot of balls." And I remember he said, "Yeah, you're absolutely right." And we said, "It's going to change this year." And I said, "Okay." I said, "I'm gonna see everybody tell me that every year because I when a lot of us go back, especially former players at LSU, it's a bond. We talk to the guys and talk about expectations and different things, and they're real receptive, real respectful to it towards us. But when I saw him, he came up, talked to me, took a picture with my kid, and he said it's going to change. And I promise you, it was like you watching. I think from that Texas game, it was like, wow, this is impressive.
Yeah, the fact that that's the way their schedule stacked, there were a number of tests. That they had more so than some other teams may had in the conference. The SEC is a test anyway, but like you said, they had the game with Texas early on, some things and opportunities to really prove what they're capable of doing, and for Burrow to prove what he was doing. He's kind of been an element that's been missing in recent years. People say, well, LSU is this, but if they had the right quarterback, he was the right guy at the right time.
Well, I would say that, and here's something I would say from my opinion. I think they got the right offense at the right time because in the past, if you remember, Coach Miles always wanted to power football, run that old Bo Schembechler, Michigan, 22 personnel with the two tight ends, two back. I'm going to run it down your throat. But here's the thing. When you face another mirror twin juggernaut just like yourself, like Alabama, now Alabama had those game managers where we're going to throw the ball. I'm going to get it out to the O.J. Howards. I'm going to get this ball out of my hands because I can't run a ball against you, so I'm going to throw it. We always had we could run the ball and we had the special team, but we couldn't throw the ball and get guys open. Now we did it at times against certain opponents, but a lot of times we got away with it and no one could stop us. So that's why they continue to do it. But Joe Burrow to me is one. He was a good quarterback last year. Just those guys drop balls, but now you add in Brady and you add in with Esminger and you put those minds, no egos, man. When you talk about that is hard for coaches to do.
Right.
Two guys coming in there, and I think Brady. Called the red zone plays, Esminger called the other plays, and it really worked well together. And you saw the success. And they got it done. And then on top of that, you got the five-star athletes, and you got the kid. It is crazy. You just lost Moss, and now you got the kid from Marietta High School coming in, five-star.
Absolutely, woo! Absolutely.
It's going to look nice. Future looks nice.
You like that, huh?
Yes.
Thoughts about the game, Monday. We've spending time with Chuck Wiley, former Atlanta Falcons defensive end and proud LSU alum. That game started out at such a pace. Mm-hmm. I was breaking a sweat, and I'm just sitting watching the first two quarters. Those teams just went back and forth up and down the field. I'm texting some friends about it. Man, this game is great. It's an incredible game the way it started out. But then LSU found a way to take control of it.
Well, you look at it, Joe Brady was so prepared, and the team was so prepared. Coach O does a great job with that, preparing those guys. You look at it, they were in bad situation. They kept punting the ball and getting them down on the 1 yard line, which is tough for anybody. And they went to the offense that the defense that Auburn used, where they had the 3-1-7 and had all those DBs,
okay. And
they were bringing the house. And I saw when I kept and they kept bringing Simmons off that edge, and it was he was tagging Brady. And what they have taught Joe Burrow is that now he already has a couple plays in his head, but they've already they're in this formation or whatever, this defense. Now if they switch to this, now we're going to run this. He's already had that plan in his head, and he can change the play at the line of scrimmage. Now, that's why I would give the quarterbacks from the past, I don't think they had that freedom back in the day to sit there, they're about to blitz, they're coming off the edge. All right, we're running this, change that. They couldn't do that. They were just like, we're running 32 dive, we're running 32 dive. Seriously. So that's – you see that's a big difference. You think about the weekend before when Oklahoma took away Chase – Jefferson got off.
Yeah.
Clemson tried to take away Jefferson a little bit. Then Chase goes off,
mm-hmm.
You know. And then you still had Clyde Helaire. in the backfield, getting the passes dumped off. I mean, and they start going to the quick game to spread them out a little bit. And then after a while, they start those RPOs start going and those safeties and linebackers blitzed up. Chase one-on-one. You saw that man coverage.
Yeah. Got him.
220-some yards later.
Yeah.
I felt bad for the corner a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Slightly. Yeah. Just a remarkable season. Just a remarkable season. And the fact that they had to get there the tough way. They had to go and win, beat Alabama and Alabama. They had to win the SEC championship game here in Atlanta, which is practically a home game for Georgia.
Yeah. And I told somebody the other day, like, we a lot of people having a conversation about this. I'm not saying Joe Burrow had the best career overall or he's the best athlete, but far as the best season for a quarterback, Joe Burrow had the best season with the yards. If those kids wouldn't have dropped those passes in early downs with in the Clemson game, he would have the all-time completion percentage. I mean, it was just phenomenal watching him all this year. And he's beat every major team in every conference and even on the road. He's got it done. And I'm going to tell you this, too. I give credit to – that has got to be one of the best O-lines LSU's ever had. I mean, far as collectively. I mean, they won that O-line award. He's had between 6 to 8 seconds to throw a ball, which, I mean, Sam, you and I can get back there. All right, wait. I'll wait till he's over. Got him.
Yeah.
So he's just had it all the way around with the tight ends. And then you think about that defense still had – you still got DBU making plays, the young kid Stingley. A lot of people even forgot about Delpit, the Thorpe winner. I mean, Delpit making a lot of plays.
Yeah.
You saw him making that big hit on some of those receivers, man. They had – to me, I thought they had a complete team. The defense wasn't great, but they did what they needed to do to make it happen and make the stops they needed, and that's why they were triumphing.
Yeah. Thoughts about – one thing about Clemson, and we got a guy who hadn't lost a game since he left Cartersville High School.
Yeah, the last loss was Blessed Trinity.
Yeah.
That was crazy. Yeah.
But thoughts about it, how he would bounce back from this for next season. I mean, he's obviously a talented quarterback and presents a quarterback. LSU found a way to totally defuse him. But thoughts about him and Clemson, because they got a lot of that cast of characters that will be back next year.
Yeah, and you saw ATN, I think, is coming back. He's coming back. They're going to have a lot of talent coming. And I've told somebody, to me, in my opinion, I think Clemson is like an SEC team playing in ACC.
Mm-hmm.
You see how Dabo and them recruit. One of my old teammates, Lemansky Hall, coaches there, played with me with the Vikings. They recruit, and they're both of those guys are Alabama guys. They was on that 92 national championship team with Gene Stallings. They recruit a lot of big players. They recruit a lot of talent. They have some size up there. And you watch these guys. They're very talented, the tall receivers. And you watch them. They look like an SEC team. But it's just what they face is a juggernaut that's been battle-tested like week in and week out. And I think that's got the best of them. But I really think they're going to make a big run next year. They're going to make a run. We lost a lot of kids. Yeah. We lost a lot of kids. I mean, a lot of kids came out. But here's the great thing. Coach O replaced him. We got a lot of five-star and four-star kids coming back and that had game experience this year.
Yeah. When you mentioned Mr. Gilbert from out at Marietta.
Yes.
He's going to go down there. And they can't wait for him to get down there.
Sam, I watched him on whatever that playoff game was, and they put him at wideout. And he had like almost like 200 yards on wideout. I mean, it was phenomenal to see. I was like, wow.
Yep, he is on the way. And we're so glad you came in this morning. Talk a little bit about what you're doing, 99 Ways. It's something we've seen you do a lot of things with camps and clinics for young people, high school football classic that you have with Atlanta Public Schools. Mm-hmm. Thoughts about the things that you're doing with your foundation?
Well, 99 Ways to Win has been a very active foundation since I started back in 2001, since I was here playing with the Falcons. This is one of my ways, Sam, of giving back. And I always tell people this is one of my therapies for me post-football, like getting out, working with kids, helping somebody else out. Somebody helped me out back in the day, so that's my way of giving back. We have a HBCU college fair that's going to be coming up in August. I partnered up with the Andrew and Walter Young Family YMCA. Do a lot of volunteering over there. In fact, I'm a board member down there now.
Okay.
Been doing some things with them. Continue doing stuff with the Adamsville Rec Center now. Now is the C.T. Martin Natatorium and Recreational Center.
Great facility.
So, great facility, man. Very large. And they welcome me with open arms. I get out there. And something we do where we give back to their the Adamsville Vikings, give back to their program, their football players
great
and
program,
cheerleaders.
Great program they have over there. Outstanding. You talk about some great places there with the Andrew and Walter Young YMCA. We thank you for stopping by this morning. And you're on the way somewhere with our fraternity brothers.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So this is what something we do every weekend. Man, you know, Sam put that time in with the fraternity. Definitely doing our community service. This week, especially and getting ready for the MLK holiday, we have that parade coming up that we all partner up with the downtown, with the city of Atlanta. But what we do, one of my churches, Historic Ebenezer Baptist Church, we get together for what we call a monthly chapter church service. So we pick a brother's church and everybody fellowship together. So Not only that we do community service and we also have a good time with each other, we also fellowship with one another, man. So this is where we all get together, bring our families and take some time from work and everything. Let's go to church and, pray to the man upstairs.
Yeah, yeah. So you're going to do that today, and all the brothers are going to be over there at Ebenezer. We thank you for stopping by and spending some time with us, as always. Great for giving us some insight into what to look for in the championship Sunday today, and also some thoughts about LSU getting that championship.
Yeah. Sam, you got to bring me back now.
Okay.
You got to bring
me back. We'll do that. We'll definitely do that. Yeah. Greg said do it as well. Thanks so much for the time. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at 99 Ways to Win. 99 Ways to Win to keep up with Chuck
Wild. Wait. Go Tigers. We got to say it. I got to end it with Go Tigers.
Back with more after this time out here on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you. 9 floors up in the Kia Studios. Seeing some clouds outside, but not threatening clouds. Don't expect any rain today, but do expect the temperature to drop tonight and the next few mornings. You live here in the metro Atlanta area, temperatures are going to be in the 20s. Get ready. You know, we wonder, where's winter at? What happened to winter? Don't feel like winter. People walking around in shorts and flip-flops last week. Where's winter? It's January. We're going to find winter for you. Well, winter will find you. Just make sure you're ready. It's all going to change starting tomorrow. Don't forget, Championship Day. We talked about the championship games. Great to have, once again, thank Chuck Wiley for stopping by and spending some time with us talking about the championship games and giving him a chance to smile and talk about his alma mater, LSU, and winning the national championship. Proud alumnus of Louisiana State University.
You see who he looks like? Counter favors?
Yeah.
You know who I'm saying. He looks like our fearless leader. He does. Not the one across the hall. I'm talking about Mr. Caffey.
Yeah.
He does kind of look like him, doesn't he?
It does have that kind of look to him.
Rick would appreciate that.
He would. He's like, oh, yeah.
He would appreciate that. He looks like this NFL player. It seemed like you wanted to go on about this one subject, and he was talking about Trevor Lawrence, and you didn't really get into, who was that last loss he took? Who was that you said?
Blessed Trinity. When he was at Cartersville. Man, and he hadn't lost the games. He was at Cartersville High School, man. You know, he's walking around the rest of this week talking to himself. when you come into college at that level and you go 2 seasons without losing a game, my goodness. Who does that?
Jalen Hurts.
I mean? Magic Johnson. I mean, you lost the game, but you come in and win the championship.
He got the hardware to win the season.
But I'm just saying, who normally gets to do that, come in and not lose?
Yeah.
You know, and that's you know. So.
My question is, Dabo Swinney finds himself in a position is right now that a lot of coaches that – kind of you look at with a skunk eye, and the gold standard of this, of course, is Marv Levy. How do you get that close? You can see the trophy right there, almost touch it, and it gets yanked from you. Now, this wasn't a close game, I understand.
No.
But
the loss to Alabama was.
Right, but what I'm saying is 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not bad. And to pick himself back, the good news is he's keeping his quarterback going in the next season.
Yeah.
But I would like to have gotten Chuck's thoughts on what's the conversation like in the locker room when you're a player on a team that got that close and you know you what you put into that season to get there? You tasted it once, you were coming back to do it again, and you come up short, and then you got to get back up and do it again. That to me is just amazing. And I think about that, and I marvel, no pun intended, at what that Buffalo Bills team did. There are other teams who have gone back-to-back but then fell off, but to do it 4 times.
Yeah. That's something.
And then to do what, again, you know, Saban and now Dabo Swinney these last few years. I don't know how long Coach Orgeron's going to have success there. He's losing a whole bunch of folks.
A lot of folks
over there. So we don't expect to see them back. But they might. But what it would have been like to be that player in that Clemson room. And, no, listen, they're picking us to be the number one again next year. and to keep that mindset. We know what it's like. It's easier to keep that focus on a pro level, but on a college level, right, that's where the coaching comes in.
Absolutely. With the changes that take place, the changes in personnel, that locker room changes, to get them to come in and buy in and step in and say, hey, we're not going to be the ones to let it fall down, not under our watch. You know what I mean? We're going to keep it up while we're here. It's easy to say, but it's a whole different thing to go out and do it. He mentioned one thing that I always say about Clemson, that Clemson is the ACC school with the SEC mentality. And they've been that. They've been that for some time.
Absolutely.
You know, they'd rather beat you in a football game than a basketball game anyway. But this week they did beat Duke. And they beat North Carolina for the first time in, 59 years in Chapel Hill last week. And that's excitement. But they've always had that football-first mentality.
Well, you know who else had that for a while? For a while was Miami.
Well, yeah.
But, you know.
Their football's having a problem. Now, Florida State was that way, but now Florida State's a basketball.
Florida State was still – they were still prettier than – they weren't like – they didn't come across, at least to me, like an SEC team.
Well, they beat you up and all that. They recruited from a lot of the same places, though. If you go down there, Bobby Bowden was going back up through South Georgia,
right,
South Alabama, along with the Panhandle of Florida, and then, you know, Southern Florida until – you know, Schnellenberger and Jimmy Johnson put that fence up around Miami.
Exactly.
And say, you're not coming in here. Yeah. We're keeping everything here stays here. And that's where Bobby Bowden was getting a lot of his talent from for those Florida State team.
Tell the people again how they got to take a nap and check out what's going on down under.
Oh, yeah.
Later tonight.
Oh, yeah. Later tonight. That's what's happening. After the football ends, that's when the real fun starts to be because that's when the Australian Open starts. If we can see it through the mist and the smoke and the clouds, hopefully, and Karen Pestana was with us earlier in our show, if you missed it, right before 7 o'clock, and giving us a preview of the Australian Open, the first tennis major of 2020, and who to watch for, who the favorites are, and people to watch for. And, of course, tonight it starts with a matchup for the ages, as we would say, with Coco Gauff taking on Venus Williams in one of the very first matches of this tournament, something you want to tune in for sure. We saw them square off at Wimbledon last summer, and we saw Coco Gauff, who grew up here in Atlanta and spent the early part of her childhood here, come off with a big win over Venus, and it really set her into an orbit that she has been able to maintain, and we look and see how she does that. Obviously, the big three for the men, we'll be watching to see how they do as well. Nadal, Djokovic, Federer. Those guys have to be the ones up front. Who will challenge them? Who will emerge from the rest of the pack of the men to come out and be one or two players who will go out and will it be Team? Will it be Tsitsipas? Maybe one of those two will be ones who will step forward this time and give them a run to be in the championship weekend, be there in a couple of weeks with a chance to win the tournament. Got some home folks we're watching, obviously. John Isner, University of Georgia star, the team who is just practically – put his name on the BB&T Atlanta Open, is winning it so many times, is the 19 seed for this tournament. We see how he starts his play. Christopher Eubanks out of Georgia Tech, who's played his way through the qualifying round. Atlanta native, shout out to Georgia Tech, shout out to Westlake High School, and he is in the main draw for the tournament. Taylor Townsend, part-time resident of the city. Charles Drew High School down in Riverdale. Is playing well, and she is in the main draw as well for this tournament. So we watch and see how our home folks do in the Australian Open that gets started later on today. Golf tour as well before we get to the casting call. They're playing in La Quinta. Andrew Landry, Scottie Scheffler, both at 21 under par. Ricky Fowler is four shots back. They're playing on two courses there. Next week, Tiger Woods goes back to work at Torrey Pines, a place he knows like his own backyard. He's a win away from the PGA Tour's all-time record. He shares it now with Sam Snead. He's won at Torrey Pines eight times, including the 2008 U.S. Open, but he's not won there since 2013. Tiger's going to play next week at Torrey Pines, take a couple of weeks off, be back in 3 weeks to play at Riviera there in Los Angeles. It's a tournament that he's the host for that event, but it is the place where he played his first PGA tournament when he was still in high school, Riviera Country Club there in wonderful, lovely Pacific Palisades. Don't you want to go? That's coming up on the PGA Tour to watch for. All right, next hour, we're going to get to talk some more NFL, more stuff with these championship games. Former Georgia standout, Green Bay Packer DJ Jones, we're going to talk with him.
We played against him, so we know what he brings, and it wasn't that long ago that we played him. So, listen, the guy's been playing for a long time here, including training camp. So, if you're in hitting shape, you're in hitting shape now. So,
hitting shape. Kansas City coach Andy Reid. He's talking about Derrick Henry. He would be in hitting shape. You hope you're in shape to hit back the way that guy likes to hit. Welcome back, everyone. Sports Radio 99 The Game. Sam Crenshaw with you on this game day Sunday morning. The championship games coming up for the NFC and the AFC coming up later today as we find out who's going to move on the road to the Super Bowl, who's going to be in, who's going to be out. Who are you with today? Who are you with today in these two games, and what's going to be the thing that makes the difference in who is the champion of the AFC and who is the champion of the NFC? That's what we're going to watch for. So glad you're with us for one more hour this morning. I've been on this side of the glass today. Greg has been on the opposite side of the glass, and I hope you've enjoyed our conversation. We enjoyed really breaking down the games last hour. Chuck Wiley, former Atlanta Falcon defensive end and a proud LSU alum, came by and dropped some knowledge on us, talked about facing the different quarterbacks, the things that could happen in the games today. We thank him for coming by and spending some time with us. Don't forget, this is the place to hear the AFC and NFC championship games. If you're not somewhere watching, on TV today, you can listen to the games. Tune in for the AFC championship game, Tennessee Titans and Kansas City Chiefs. Pre-game show coming your way at 2 o'clock, kickoff at 3 p.m. You're hearing that here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget about the NFC championship game, the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers. Pre-game at 6:15, kickoff at 6:40. Both games are coming up later on today here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hope that you will tune in and enjoy those games, and hope you're ready in whatever you're doing during the course of your day. Thanks for taking us along with you this morning. If you're out and about, if you've had to work the late shift and you just had on your way home, if you're driving in the area because you have tomorrow off and you're doing some traveling, thanks for letting us ride with you. If you're on your way to Sunday services, thanks so much for letting us ride along with you. It is the King holiday. A lot of people are off work tomorrow and are out of school tomorrow. There are a lot of activities and events. If you're getting around to the area to attend those events, do them with care. And don't forget, tomorrow morning, the temperature is really going to drop around here. It's going to be in the 20s for the next 3 days when you wake up in the morning here in the metro Atlanta area. So like I said last hour, a lot of people have been wondering, where is winter? Now, we found it for you. We found it big time. It's going to be here, be here in the morning, and you'll see it right outside your door. Make sure you're wrapped up and be prepared for it. Like I said yesterday, tomorrow is King Holiday. The Hawks will be playing tomorrow, the annual King Holiday game. A full slate of NBA action going on tomorrow, but the Hawks, Atlanta is the home of that game, the first place they played a game during the King Holiday, and they'll be taking on the defending NBA champion Toronto Raptors tomorrow. 2:30 is game time. You can hear that game here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 2 o'clock, the pregame show, 2:30, the tip. Lecrae, inspirational hip-hop artist, will be performing as well. So you're going to be entertained, you're going to be uplifted, and you're going to see some great basketball that's coming up tomorrow. So Hawks got an interesting week. They got the Raptors coming in, and then Wednesday they have the Clippers coming to town. So a big week for the Hawks for basketball. Look, State Farm Arena, they'd love to see you come over and pack the place for those games. Some of the more talented teams in the NBA will be coming to town, and we'll see how the Hawks do against those teams, how they do against Toronto tomorrow, and how they do against the talented Clippers when they come to town coming up on Wednesday. Like you said, a full slate of action coming up tomorrow around the league. First game, we got Pistons, who were here last night. They're playing in D.C. against the Wizards. We got the Raptors here. Sixers and Nets play tomorrow. Kings and Heat, Bulls, and Bucks, the Bucks have just been hot all season long. They got a game against Chicago. Thunder and Rockets, that should be entertaining matchup. The game out in Houston. Pelicans, Grizzlies, as this week the Pelicans will get Zion Williamson. He's due to play his first game Wednesday of this week, so you watch for that this week in the NBA. Lakers and Celtics. Evening game up at the Boston Garden. That's going to be a great matchup for the King Holiday. Watch for that one. Nuggets and T-Wolves taking place. Spurs, Suns, Warriors, Trailblazers. Games that are taking place tomorrow. Also, Pacers and Jazz. That's games that are coming up. The full slate of action is the NBA has always made the King Holiday a big, big day for a basketball NBA. And earlier today, we talked about also the high school action, too. A lot of high school events going on. So get out. No sense to stay at home. It is going to be chilly, but bundle up and get out. And after you do your act of service, whatever it might be, go and enjoy some basketball because there's a lot of it going on around here. I got some folks checking in with me on Facebook Live. Good morning. I'm saying good morning to folks on Facebook Live with me. Great to have y'all with me this morning, too, as well as you who are listening. Once again, we talked about these games that are coming up, and I don't know where you are with them. I think we got a lot of contrasting styles, especially when we talk with the quarterbacks that lead these teams, what they do and what they've done this season to get their team to this point. You got everybody from Patrick Mahomes, who has all these weapons. They can light up a scoreboard, to a guy like Ryan Tannehill, who has been able to land in Nashville and reinvent himself practically and make him a vital part of this effort by this Tennessee Titans team. I don't think Tennessee wins this game, but it's so hard to go against a team that's been on the roll, that's seen them go to New England and beat the Patriots, which a lot of people didn't think they do, and then go to Baltimore last week and beat the Ravens, which was something else we didn't think they would do. But they managed to do that. So how do you really count these guys out? Yeah, Kansas City's a tough place to play. It's a tough place to win. You got to put on your track shoes because it's going to be a track meet against the Chiefs. You know what they love to do. Mahomes and company love to light up scoreboards. Oh, and by the way, their defense has gotten better and better as his season has gone along. What, if anything, can Tennessee do? Well, they can do what they've done. What can Tennessee do? They can do what they've done the last 2 weeks and for much of this season. They can give the ball number 22. That's pretty easy solution, isn't it? Derrick Henry has been that guy. He really is. And to see him do it, and no matter what defense he's facing, to do it against the Patriots and then to do it last week against the Baltimore defense. So Kansas City's defense is improved and better, but he's up to the test. He knows he's going to be on the spot. He knows he's going to be a target, and it seems not to matter. He had these thoughts this week.
I think us is, you know, believing in each other on all three phases, you know, when we're out there competing, getting better, keeping emphasis on what we need to do as a team, and I think that's what we've been doing.
And that's the magic thing, magic word, you say team. Because that's what this Tennessee team has done. They banded together, their coach stealing some pages, obviously, from the New England playbook and bringing them along and implementing him with the talent that he has there in Tennessee. And they've gone out and rallied around a guy who I just think that Derrick Henry's offense is a big part of the Tennessee defense today, because the more he can sustain those drives, chew up those yards on the ground, and keep Mahomes on the sideline, the better the chances for Tennessee in this game. So we'll see what happens. Tennessee at 9-7. And which team would you rather be, the team that's been hot all season long or the team that gets hot at just the right time? You know, and that's what you're seeing in these two games. You're seeing a team in Kansas City that's been there all season long. They had to go several games without Mahomes, who suffered an injury right around the middle of the season. But they continued to win. They continued to roll. And they are right where you expected this team to be. But what do they do now against a team at 9-7? That's not a pretty record, but it gets you where you need to go. That 9-7 has them one win away from the Super Bowl. And they saw that coming. Didn't see that coming in that game. Meanwhile, in the NFC, well, that's another, the young gun against the gunslinger. I guess you would say the quarterbacks and Jimmy Garoppolo. A lot of people said it was unproven to know what he would do in the postseason game. Well, he showed you last week what he can do in the postseason game. And he's got tons of talent around him. And he's got a solid running game. And painfully for us is Tevin Coleman, guy that we remember from being a big part of the Falcons, especially our Super Bowl team. Now he's being a part of a San Francisco team, and he could end up back in the big game with the win today, and that's what they do, the running game. So he's a big weapon. Jimmy Garoppolo enjoys playing with him, and here's some thoughts from the 49ers quarterback.
It's really cool. It's a great opportunity, you know, especially, Aaron, I've said it before, but he's, you know, one of the best to ever do it. Tremendous competitor, fun to watch. I mean, all that stuff. Just, you know, we got a good opportunity here Sunday, so it'll be fun.
Jimmy Garoppolo, and you know, that's the thing. And you know what the folks up in New England have to be saying. He's supposed to be, he couldn't have him sitting there with Brady playing as well. And so he goes out to San Francisco and look at what he's done. But, oh, by the way, he's facing a guy in Aaron Rodgers on the other side who, you know, they beat earlier in the season. They beat during the regular season. But this is the playoffs, and Rodgers has been here many times before. And we look to see. It's the classic combination of the young gun and the old gunslinger. And maybe the young gun has more weapons that can do some things. And he has a defense that can go and really put some pressure. You're going to turn a guys like Bosa loose to chase Rodgers, get him out of the pocket, get him out of those things that he's comfortable doing. We'll see if they're able to do that. Could be a difficult evening for the Green Bay Packers as they play in the NFC Championship game. All right, coming up next, going to check in with DJ Jones. Played national championship team at UGA and also played for the Packers. Maybe he's found out a way for his team to get a win today. We're going to check in with him next. You stay with us on this game day Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you. 9 floors up in the Kia Studios on a game day Sunday, championship Sunday around the National Football League. Big games coming up today to determine who would move on the road to the Super Bowl. And we're talking about them this morning, and boy, joining us now on the waitforit.com hotline, a guy I love to talk football with, and that's because he's got a lot of passion for it. That's because he's played big-level college and on the big stage in the National Football League. Host of Sports Visions joining us now, Darryl DJ Jones. Good morning, DJ.
Good morning, Sam. How are you, man?
Man, great to hear your voice. Always great to be with you. How's your 2020 start?
2020 is absolutely fantastic, man. I tell you, it's incredible that the blessing that has been bestowed upon Sports Vision, my partner Dale and I, man, and we're just excited about it and looking forward to the rest of the year.
Fantastic, fantastic. Wanted you to chime in today because we got two games going on, and one team that's playing is near and dear to your heart. I even saw a picture you had with that mom that had on a Green Bay Packers jacket.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. She's proud, man. She's a proud mama, man. I tell you, that jacket is, you know, I bought that jacket for her back in 1984, and it still looks nearly new. She's kept it, and she wore it proudly yesterday.
Wow, wow. That's amazing. Talk about your old team. And a lot of people feel like they really got a tough road to hoe today. Against this 49ers team. But thoughts about Green Bay, especially when you think about Aaron Rodgers, if he's healthy and shows up, that gives them a chance right there. But talk about what they're going to have to do today.
Absolutely. You know, we're having an opportunity to witness one of the great quarterbacks of our time. And, again, all the stars have to be lined up right for them to go out and do and take care of business as far as getting a victory out on the West Coast. But Aaron Rodgers, he's a guy that, you know, he makes plays. We've seen him, you know, year in and year out. And the bottom line is that, you know, he has some help this year, and particularly on the defensive side. They went out and invested into some defensive players that made them tremendously better. And they're going to need that defense to travel because Shanahan, and of course, and all the greatness of that offensive production from the 49ers, man, that's why they're where they are. Their defense is not too shabby as well. I know everybody in the world has been reading about Bosa and the rest of the crew before, but I think that the experience in this point in time, I think that the fact that Aaron Rodgers has been there before, this is not going to be anything that he hasn't experienced. And I don't know if Jimmy G is ready for a stage this big. I know he's successful and he's the second coming. However, I think that the defense is going to travel. The Green Bay Packers are going to find a way to win it. And of course, my nephew, Aaron Jones, is going to have a big day running back for the Green Bay Packers.
Talk about that guy and the role that he's able to play. Today he really will be under the spotlight and really will need to go out and deliver. Talk about him, and you have a chance to communicate with him, and what's it like being a part of this thing and being and lining up in the backfield with someone like Aaron Rodgers?
Well, you know, first and foremost, you know, I think he will be the difference maker. He has to have he has to be the factor that's going to give Aaron Rodgers, obviously, an opportunity to do the play-action thing because, you know, Devontae Adams is really the only solid weapon outside that we know of. Of course, we hope our big tight end shows up again with all those expectations that we were looking for. But again, these guys, they know this is the biggest game in the world for them. And for many of them, this is the biggest game in their career. Everybody wants to go to the Super Bowl, and the only way they're going to get there is they have to go out and play well in San Francisco and, again, leave it on the field.
Yep. Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline with Darryl DJ Jones. You can follow him. He is social. You can follow him on Twitter at Darryl DJ Jones, at Darryl DJ Jones, and of course, SportsVisionUSA.com. He and his partner, Dale Williams, do an outstanding job keeping us on top on everything down in Columbus. We're going to get to something special, you guys, coming up tomorrow in just a moment. You played in Green Bay, and like I'm sure the Packers would love to be playing this game at Green Bay. How do you get yourself ready, get your mind right for a game at that place somewhere like this time of year, man? I just watched them on TV, and I'm like, dude. the go-out in the net. I mean, and that's supposed to be your home field, but we know you're from Columbus, Georgia. The thing of it is, when you take the field up there, the advantage you feel like you have over that opponent, you know, a certain time of the year.
Right. You know what? It's funny you mentioned that because, you know, the last game of my career at the University of Georgia, we played University of Texas out in Dallas in the Cotton Bowl in January 1984. And the practices leading into the game week prior to, man, it was absolutely freezing in Dallas. Now, Dallas didn't compare anywhere near what Green Bay was, but I know that most of the defensive backs, we had a coach, Bill Lewis, our defensive back coach, and we were complaining how cold it was. And he happened to mention, you know, yeah, y'all, you guys be quiet. You could be playing in Green Bay. And lo and behold, the Green Bay Packers drafted me several months later. But my thoughts going in, man, and all it's just like all the other guys from the South that go up to Green Bay and end up making the team and playing, is that I just thought about it like this. You know what? These guys were there and successful prior to me. It didn't hurt anybody, and they were able to make it happen. And, you know, you just get acclimated. It's a frame of mind. It's more mind over matter. And, that's all I can say, man, because it was extremely cold. And prior to me going there, there's no way in the world I thought I could have survived this Southern boy from Columbus, Georgia, and performing in inclement weather in the cold, freezing, frigid weather of Lambeau Field. But, you know, it was a great advantage for us because the great fans in Green Bay, and, hey, the element of cold definitely affected the other teams.
Yep, it always does. It seems like it does that for sure. They're going on the road today. Let me get your thoughts on this other game going on today. Kansas City is a tough place to play. And a lot of people are pulling for Green Bay and Kansas City. It would be a rematch of the very first Super Bowl. Those were the teams that played in the very first Super Bowl game, just for sentimental reasons. But thoughts about going to a place like Kansas City? And that's you talk about a home field advantage. They have a big one out there.
Yes, they do. But they also are going to have to slow down a train called Derrick Henry and, of course, his offensive lineman. You know, Mike Vrabel is, you know, he's a big, strong, physical guy, believes in physicality. And everything that most football purists understand about the game and love about the game is the fact that when you're able to run downhill and, of course, ground and pound, you know what I'm saying, ground and pound, Derrick Henry, 6'4", 245 pounds, 4'5", 40. I mean, it's a former Heisman Trophy winner. This is a guy who he's playing at his very best right now, and he's coming downhill. And when he is effective, of course, that eats clock, that keeps the chains moving, and it also has an opportunity to keep one of the most productive quarterbacks that we've seen here in recent years off the field in Mahomes. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting. I don't think it's going to be the high-scoring game that everybody predicts. There's a lot of weapons on that Kansas City Chiefs offensive side of the ball. But I really think that Derrick Henry is going to be the X factor today with the Tennessee Titans.
I got to ask you a question about one guy with Kansas City, Mecole Hardman from University of Georgia. Thoughts about what he has brought to the team? He stepped right in. It's like he's been there for years with this team.
Absolutely. He's electric. He was electric and explosive at the University of Georgia. You know, he helps out not only in the passing game, but in the kicking game. He takes you to the next level. And, you know, to have a young player like that teamed up with already three-fourths of an Olympic 4x100 relay team, you know, it's just crazy. I mean, as a defensive back, in my time playing against a team like that today, man, obviously, you know, you don't sleep well the night before because they can hit you from so many different angles. And like I said, with the youngster plugging Mecole Hardman in there with those guys, man, it's just explosive.
Yep, and he has stepped in and done an outstanding job joining that team. He's done some fantastic things out there. We talk about that. We mentioned Georgia. Let me let you talk about some stuff that's happened over there this week for UGA. Ben, I know you keep up with things happening in Athens and the new offensive coordinator. What are your thoughts about him and a new quarterback that we found with some experience to step in for the departed Jake Fromm?
First and foremost, I think is huge by the, of course, the grad transfer from Wake Forest, Jamie Newman, coming over. You know, we've heard his size, 6'4", 230 pounds. The guy's athletic, has an arm, has accurate, has the leadership skills and qualities that you want in a winning locker room. And when you're part of a winning culture, I'm excited about it. And I have been talking about it, dealing on our shows down here, you know, about obviously Georgia and in particular Coach Martin and the Bulldogs. you know, in order to, again, step it up to that next level, and that next level is the actual national championship game, the college football playoffs. It was no secret. We saw the explosiveness of LSU, of Clemson, of Ohio State, and the likes, and, of course, Alabama and the success that they've had. So having a dual threat, again, at least a quarterback that actually can make plays with his legs. Now, I love Jake Fromm. He was great. He was fantastic. I wish him the best. But in order for us to compete for a national championship at the highest level, we have to have a productive dual-threat guy who can make plays with his arm and make plays with his legs. And I'm proud that Jamie has chosen the University of Georgia. I'm also happy that we've got a new offensive mindset. You know, the guy comes in with professional football experience as well as, of course, a head coaching experience. He's an offensive guru, and, of course, he's one of the masters of the passing game. So I like that. I like that mix with the talent that we have already established in the mindset of physicality that Kirby has established at Georgia.
Great to spend some time on this Sunday morning with Darryl DJ Jones. You can follow him once again on Twitter at Darryl DJ Jones and SportsVisionUSA.com out of Columbus. Okay, you guys got something special happening tomorrow. Tomorrow's the King holiday. It's a day of service, and Sports Vision's involved in something very special with somebody we know.
Absolutely, absolutely. We've always been really, really proud to have an association with Isaiah Crowell, one of our former high school award winners. He grew, of course, one of the stars of George Washington Carver High School here in Columbus, Georgia, but he spent a little time at Georgia, happened to be in the SEC Freshman of the Year, got in a little trouble, ended up at Alabama State, ended up making All-American. But the bottom line is this is his sixth year in the National Football League, and he has a tremendous heart. We've worked with him in conjunction with his youth camp. He has a free summer youth camp here. He's had it about 5 years in a row. He's given away turkeys and meals and fed over hundreds of people every Thanksgiving that he's been in the league. We've been an integral part of that. But tomorrow, we stepped it up again. We're going to, in conjunction with Safe House Ministries here, which is a home for wayward folks who've been incarcerated and who are down on their luck right now. But they're going to have a feeding tomorrow at lunch, and Isaiah is going to sponsor a goodie bag and purse giveaway. Now, again, this is something special, and he wanted to do it for Martin Luther King Day. I did leave out that he bought bikes for kids during the Christmas and gave away bikes. We drove around in the community here and, of course, presented some bikes to some very worthy kids. But, again, this event tomorrow is the Feed the Crow Foundation in conjunction with Safe House Ministries. We'll have the Isaiah Crowell goodie bag and purse giveaway to the folks that are part of Safe House Ministries. And in that bag, and he'll have a bag for the guys and purses for the ladies and have essentials. Of course, he'll have all kinds of goodies in the bag. And it's just another way for Isaiah to say, you know, thank you. And he loves Columbus. He supports Columbus. And he just want to give back because he's been blessed.
Man, fantastic way you guys are doing it. And people, DJ and Dale do so many things, especially with the youth and the high school. And you guys bring all the heavy hitters down there. You know, if you want to, you don't want to find a place, you go to an event they're having, and Nick Saban's going to be there, Dabo Sweeney's going to be there. You guys bring all the heavy hitters down to Columbus.
Man, we've been very fortunate, but don't think that those guys are coming to see Dale and I. They know that this is a football hotbed here in the Chattahoochee Valley, right here in Columbus, Phoenix City, and. You know, these coaches, of course, like I said, from Sabo to from Nick Saban to Dabo Sweeney, Kirby Smart, Gus Malzahn, Mark Richt, they've all come in that second Thursday in December for our Sports Vision High School Football Awards Luncheon. And again, we've been blessed, man. We've been really blessed.
Fantastic, fantastic. DJ, thanks for the time, man. It's been time well spent. Great catching up with you, and great getting your insight on the big games today. Enjoy these games today.
Hey, man, I love you. You know, we go back before flat screen TVs and cell phones, man. So enjoy your day as well.
Thanks, DJ.
Yes, sir.
That is Darryl DJ Jones down in Columbus. You can follow him on Twitter at Darryl DJ Jones and Sports Vision USA. Coming back, we're going to wrap things up. Final thoughts before we hand it off, headed to the top of the hour. You stay with us. We wrap things up on this game day Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com.
When you're able to be yourself and you have that social togetherness off the field, then being honest with people and holding guys accountable is more of a natural thing than the unnatural thing. So the umbrage and the offense and the sensitivity, I think, slowly fades away. You know, I really firmly believe that happened this year, and that's why we're in this position.
Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers saying there's no insecurity in this team as they head to San Francisco to take on the 49ers later today and get a shot at the NFC Championship, trying to take that title and move on the road to the Super Bowl and represent the NFC against the champion from the AFC, that being either the Tennessee Titans or the Kansas City Chiefs. Those games are coming up later today. As we've said all morning long, this is your place. This is your place for the NFC Championship game and the AFC Championship game on this Championship Sunday. Here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, AFC Championship game. You have the pregame coming up at 2 o'clock with the kickoff at 3 from Kansas City. And then the NFC Championship game will have the pregame show at 6:15, kickoff at 6:40. That is what's coming up later on today here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And coming up at the top of the hour, Willie P is going to be in along with Hugh Douglas. Give you more, get you ready for the big game, getting you ready for the championship games that are coming up later on today to decide who goes into the Super Bowl. And I was, like I said, folks, he's had his track shoes on. He's going back and forth, and now we're on both sides of the glass.
There's a beef going on. I'll turn the bullpen.
What's the beef?
There's a big beef going on.
Big beef. Big
yeah.
Beef. Not just any kind of beef.
No, this is a beef that's going to carry on in the next show. So
really?
People need to tune in.
Okay.
Okay, you got Paul Crane, who you just heard.
Yes.
He is very adamant about the Houston Astros.
Really?
Yeah. Willie P., he's agrees with him, but not so much as deeply as Paul does. And then you got Abe, the producer,
yeah,
who doesn't really care and doesn't think there should be anything done because it doesn't matter because nobody cares about baseball. And where's that effect?
Ooh.
And here's the best part about it is, the man with the biggest opinion about everything, Hugh, is not even in the discussion yet.
Oh, just wait. Just wait.
It's getting nasty out there.
Yeah. Well, the Astros actually spoke yesterday. They had an event. That they have like a Winterfest event they had in Houston. Some of the players where they had a chance to speak on matters. And Altuve said, "Well, I didn't have anything under my jersey. I didn't have anything, you know."
What's he going to say?
I know.
What's he going to say?
I know, right? so that's the whole thing. Of course, he's not going to admit to anything. But right now, there's no punishment for the players. There was a poll that was released yesterday that a lot of people feel like there should be some form of punishment.
If you weren't tuned in yesterday when Sam and I did our Saturday show, which, by the way, in case you didn't get the memo, we got it back.
Yes.
And we'll get back to football in just a second.
And if you missed it, you can go on our website and hear some of it.
I gave my thoughts and my opinion on what I think should happen. It's very simple. You haven't given yours. I just say this about the players. Since they're not going to go after them because they got the strongest union, one of the strongest, if not the strongest union in American pro sports, nothing would really be done to them long term if they went after them that way. So as far as I'm concerned, we've heard this mentioned in various scenarios in the past, and it's never come to fruition. But now, put that asterisk next to the Houston Astros. Now is when you use it. Not when Hank Aaron beats Babe Ruth's record and you want to put it there because Babe only played 154-game season. Not with the steroid users even, because they did that to themselves. These guys did it to the game that they were playing and affected the actual game. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. If you don't do anything because you can't beat that union, 15, 20 years from now, people who don't follow baseball or they just kind of dip their toe into baseball, they won't know about it. But if you leave that asterisk there, it will always be a conversation piece. Hey, why in the history of baseball are these guys got these little dots next to their World Series wins? And then the conversation will be revisited.
Yeah.
At least it will be there.
It won't be forgotten. It'll still be there.
But if they don't put an asterisk next to there, unless you are a baseball historian. But they're not. They may not.
Well, people
put
are gonna
it there.
Ask if they put the asterisk there. People are gonna
exactly
ask.
Exactly. That's my point.
You know.
But that's what they. This is when you use it. This is when you put it next to a team win because they're not pulling the trophies back, are they? They're not pulling the flags back, are they?
Not taking the rings back.
Not taking the rings back, are they?
And at least not yet. We'll see where this goes.
That's my thought on it. But they're fighting about that out there now, man.
Really?
They're going to bring it in here. I got a feeling.
That's going to be
give your
fun.
Thoughts and then let's get to the NFL right. And then let's get on out of here.
All right. That's what's coming up at the top of the hour. You want to stay tuned for that. We have one more casting call before we do that as well. We want to make sure you remember that. Yeah. So it should be interesting. The show coming up. Obviously, we're going to deal with the football playoffs, but the big story, new story this week, obviously, has been baseball and something we hadn't seen before and the swift action that was taken by baseball. And two teams now are interviewing for a new manager just days before the team goes to spring training camp. I think the Astros are due to interview Dusty Baker this week before they make their decision on who their manager will be. So that's you know, something you don't usually see teams having to do at this time of year. Usually right now is the time when teams are just getting some work in. The batters are getting in some batting cages, getting some work like that before they go to camp. And now we have to ask her questions about this, because whoever the players are on whatever team, everybody's going to be asked their opinion about this, not just the Astros, and how this impacts the sport of baseball. So that will be interesting. Games coming up later today. Don't forget, it's a big weekend for that. Don't forget basketball tomorrow. Don't forget to vote for Trae Young. You have until tomorrow to vote the NBA All-Star balloting. He's leading the way among the guards in the East. He is certainly deserving of a chance to be on the All-Star team. He's turning in All-Star performances night after night for our Atlanta Hawks. They'll be home tomorrow afternoon, 2:30, for the MLK holiday game. They're playing against Toronto Raptors. Got to give a shout-out to some people, too, before I go. Folks at my alma mater, my high school, Headland High School, closed in 1982 last night. The Islanders gathered at Emanuel's Tavern. They always do that each and every year. I was not able to make it. I miss being around my peeps. I hope everybody had a good time. It seemed like they posted a lot of pictures on social media. It's great to see you guys. Hopefully next year I'll be able to attend that one. And one with my class will be later on in the spring. I hope to make that one, but wasn't able to make it last night. But a shout out to all the Highlanders from Headland High School, from all classes that showed up last night at Manuals and fellowshiped and had a good time. And some of them actually act like they used to act in high school. Scary, scary thought.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.